sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour or so. We're gearing up to what potentially could be, but more than likely won't be, a huge night for Irish football as the Boys in Green take on Portugal in Lisbon in the World Cup qualifying group. Plenty of Cork players involved, but here was y'all's Jacob Bryan speaking to the media ahead of the fixture.
Are you okay?
Obviously, first training session today. How's the mood? Is there any kind of hangover from what happened last month, or is it all behind
you? It's definitely in the back of our heads. We were meeting today, and it was reminded. We know as much as anyone how bad of a performance it is, but we're looking to put it behind us and go into the game this week with a clear mind and be positive.
So have you watched it back or spoke about it, which is obviously when that result happened, you're all straight back to the clubs.
Yeah.
Do you move on or do you look back?
We've briefly looked back, but I think we're looking to put it behind us as fast as we can, because I mean it was negative, and I think us as players know as much as anyone how bad of a performance it was. But we're definitely looking to put it behind us and go into the game this week with a clear mind and be positive and look to get a result.
I'm sure confidence must have taken a knock, but it's important this week to build that back up here before heading to Portugal. You need to be able to take your confidence from somewhere that we can get a result.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have a few days to do our tactics and put things right and be positive. And yeah, as you said, going to the game this week with a clear mind.
Hi, Jake. What's
that
give you confidence to run into a game like this, a position like that, particularly
after that? Yeah, I think as players, we've often been in positions like this, and We have to get it from somewhere, and I think we have good players in the squad, and look, you have John Egan and Seamus Coleman will come to the squad, and they've been in positions like this before as much as anyone, and I think it's looking to just, I suppose, put positive kind of stuff into the players and making sure that look, it was behind us, and we know as much as anyone, and it's a tough game, but we're more in it than anyone thinks, and we can definitely get a result.
And John and Seamus, everyone says we know that they have experience.
Yeah.
And we know experience is important. Can you explain how they bring that experience to bear in the squad? Like, how does that become a material benefit for you guys?
They are experienced players, but they're obviously really good players as well, and not just in it just because of the experience. They're in it because they're doing well, and they're good players. They've been in and around the squad for many years, and they've been in positions where it's been good and bad, and I think it's about using that experience, and we're a young squad, and I suppose just setting the standards and putting that to training, and then we bring that to the game.
Thank you.
Jake, I suppose just quickly looking back at your Armenia game and some of the defensive plays from the Irish team were very uncharacteristic of the Irish team. Have you at times reflected on yourself much, and what conclusions were drawn? Was it would you agree with the manager that it was probably just a once off and you thought it wouldn't?
Yeah, I know we briefly looked over, and I think, it is uncharacteristic of many of the players, but it happens, it's football. Looking to put that behind us and, go again. And look, we have good players, and it's happened, and it's just important that we go into the training pitch, put it behind us and go again.
Obviously, it's early in the week, and you're embargoed right later in the week, but I imagine there's going to be a huge emphasis on defence for this game, and that will be the bedrock for the performance away in Portugal, which the manager said the performance is the key thing. Has that been spoken about yet in terms of how to approach this game, and what sort of emphasis is it going to be on it from a defensive point of view?
Yeah, look, it's Portugal. We know they're a top team, so we're not, I suppose, expecting to get on the ball and have 60-70% possession. We know that's their game, but I think as Aaron Scott, we've got to, I suppose, dig in and be defensively compact, and look, we'll have moments during the game to break through, and that's what we're looking at, is making sure when the moments come that we get it right. But first and foremost is we defend and don't give away anything silly.
Just quickly, sorry, just quick one. Do you think confidence can be built up this week and brought into Portugal?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it's early in the week, and I think we've many days to work on tactics and how we want to play, and it's important that we put the bad energy behind us, and we look at going into the game with positive mindset.
I do. Most people kind of look at the squad now and say it's in a better place in terms of players and where they are in their club careers maybe 5-6 years ago. Do you feel that? Is there a frustration that maybe that hasn't shown in terms of results, and is there any reason why it's difficult to transfer club form to the international team?
I suppose it's always different. I suppose style of play, everything, just I suppose mindset, I think, at the moment is the biggest thing going into these games, and there is no easy games anymore. And I think, yeah, we do have good players, but I think it's more so about being a team, performing as a team. And I think, as you said, against Armenia, it wasn't there, but we look to put it behind us going again.
Sure. And just on long throws, I know there was a lot of focus on them in that game, and they have become, again, they're in fashion as a good thing to use. In terms of not going as well as you would have liked, was that just an execution thing? Maybe, and you know, are you confident that can be more beneficial, I guess, for the team?
Yeah, I suppose in the games you've seen that it's become a lot more common, and not just us, but in the Premier League it is a lot more common. And yeah, I think against teams like Portugal, you got to pick your moments, and if we're high up the pitch, and that means getting our big players in the box and trying to use something to our advantage, then we'll do it, because yeah, it hasn't, I suppose, went as well as we'd wanted, but we have had moments, and yeah, we're looking to get better moments and make things go right.
John, please.
I'm just going to ask with the throw in there, you do it at Everton as well.
Yeah.
Is it different? Is there a different approach to it? Or than Rory Lapp's throws are more about pace? Like,
yeah, yeah.
About height, like, is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I won't sit there and say I have a Rory Lapp throw, because I don't, but no, you can definitely get something from throw-ins. I think you're seeing in the Premier League now, and if you win the first flick on, then it could bobble in the box and you can get something from it. So I think, yeah, against teams like Portugal, it's important that we use this to our advantage and set up right, and hopefully something comes from it.
It's sad to go, how James back, well,
yeah.
I know he's only came in yesterday, but what bit of presence does he bring?
Yeah, no, I think everyone knows what kind of guy Seamus is, and it's really important to have him in the squad. Obviously he's a quality player, but his experience, his knowabouts, and no, I think just having him in around us, make sure the players are on their toes and they're doing things right, yeah.
Jake, you made your debut, or your full debut, in Portugal last year, and since then, a lot has changed. That was in the back three, and you were playing centre-back. You've been playing right-back most of the time. How are you feeling for the change, maybe, and how you're going to be taking on that Portugal attack on Saturday?
Yeah, whatever position I'm playing, it's just important to be versatile, and whoever's playing against me, I'm more than willing to put it right, and make sure that he doesn't do anything and get any goals. Yeah.
And how have you been finding playing it right back at club level as well? It seems like you've kind of made the shift out there. How have you been enjoying your football there?
Yeah, look, as long as I'm playing, I'm happy, and it is different, but I think you can take things from being central defender, bringing them to right back, use my advantage, and I have the way I play, it can suit being a right back sometimes, and as I said, it's important to be versatile and be able to play both. Thank you.
Jake,
I
was going to ask about the
trophies
as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably every time I came into the team, it was just something that we added to our game, and it was we can use it to our advantage, and we have some big players at Everton, and we have big players here, so I think it's you can get moments from having long throws. Sometimes it might go your way, but there is teams that are scoring and making it difficult, and I know even playing against teams with long throws, it can be a difficult thing to defend if you don't win that first contact. So yeah, now look, we look to go again and get used to our advantage.
It's come back into style. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's come back into style.
A lot. I think towards the end of the week, everyone kind of goes into their tactics and their set pieces, and it's definitely coming to our set pieces, and it's a big part of it now.
Good. As a group, can you use the hurt from the Armenian people in a few days this
winter? Definitely, yeah, because I think as much as I suppose the fans are upset and we know it wasn't good enough, we're the players and we were very upset by it and how we performed, and I think we're just looking to get that first game out of the way and hopefully put on a good performance and use that to fuel our, I suppose, mentality and go into the game with a good mindset.
Is there a sense that a good result in Portugal, if you can kind of regain the momentum again?
Definitely, yeah. I think we're good enough to get a performance out there and we get a good result, and we're still in it, and there's four games to put it right, and it starts this weekend.
Hey, but Jake, you've played against a lot of these guys before. You've played against Patini in the cup final in France.
Yeah.
How good are they? Are Portugal the best in Europe at the moment?
Definitely up there, yeah. Definitely up there. They've, I suppose, a lot of good players, and I suppose they're in the Ballon d'Or rankings for a reason. And they're, I suppose, at the best teams in the world for a reason, so they're good players. But at the end of the day, it's 11v11, and yeah, we put it up to them and make sure that we don't make it easy for them.
You played in the friendly in a very of the 3-0, but it could be more so for Quilin. What are your memories of that? Are there any lessons we can take from that? You know, how we're getting so much space for the two goals. What are the lessons from the friendly there?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is knowing that they have good players, and you give them chances, they'll take it. So I think it's more so just being compact and don't give them anything silly. And if they're to score, make sure that's a goal that we can all go well.
And finally,
No, probably not. No, I think it could be a lot of things, I suppose, just flexibility, strength, and I wouldn't say a ridiculous wrong throw. But I think it's not even just the person throwing the ball, it's what's going on in front of you, the movement, and if you can get that first flick on, then you're halfway there.
Wouldn't be the wrong balls, no?
No.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, best of luck to our very own Jake O'Brien later on tonight, but we're going to hear now from Eamear Hall-Grimson as well as Evan Ferguson.
Good morning, guys. Can you just give us an update, first of all, on the squad? Obviously, we heard that Liam Scales isn't with you for sad reasons, and certainly for the family. How has that changed your approach, in a sense? Was Liam likely to start for you, do you think?
Yeah, for some obvious reasons, he is important for us. But I think it was good that we have had Jimmy with us, so he knows the roles. And credit to him coming straight from training, jump into a flight to Portugal, so he can be with us here on this session. It really didn't change how we see this game, but obviously it affects how we wanted to use the personnel.
You brought Seamus Coleman and John Egan back into the squad, I'd imagine, for their leadership qualities as well. Have they had an impact on the squad this week, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we picked them, of course, because of their quality, not because of their personality. But that helps, that they have great experience, good leaders, both of them. And that obviously raises the next player's level. And that's always, the more leaders you have, the better team you have.
And when you look at the window, is the Armenia game more important? I mean, people would expect Portugal, you're such a good team, that they have the ability to beat every team in the group, home and away. So is the Armenia game more important than the two?
No, we go for this match, like every match, to try to get something from it. We have a game plan that we think is going to work. We'll see tomorrow if that materialises. But obviously, if you look at the table, we need at least minimum 3 points from this camp. And for obvious reasons, it's when you look at it, it's probably the Armenia game that everybody is saying, okay, we can have a good performance and a better performance than in Armenia and get 3 points there. So I understand your angle with it, but we are trying to focus on this one and try to get the maximum we can from this match.
Damien Spellman, please.
Ireland teams in the past have got big results against big teams following Germany and Italy. Has this Ireland team still got that capacity?
We'll see tomorrow.
Nathan Murphy, please. Nathan?
Yeah. Hamer, just on your conversations around Armenia and what happened last time, like Vinazanas was saying, maybe there was a lack of understanding of the challenge we were coming up against away to Armenia in terms of the occasion, the environment, in terms of them as players. Have you spoken about that, how as a why players felt like that going into the game?
Yeah, we discussed the Armenia game on when we met up on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday morning, yeah, we did that. We reflected on that game. But obviously we'll revisit that after tomorrow. So we'll do that again, and I don't think anybody will not be aware of how good they are and where the threats are.
Well, are you surprised that he felt like that going into the game, that maybe there was that lack of understanding?
Shouldn't have. But, you know, players are different. They take in information in a different way. Some need more time, some need, you know, some are more visual than listeners, etc., etc. So we'll have to adjust to everyone, yeah.
Evan, is tomorrow night your first time going up against Cristiano Ronaldo? We'll see.
Yeah, I wasn't here the last time we played Portugal, so
was he a hero of yours growing up?
Yeah, he would have been, yeah, I think. Growing up, everyone he would have been looked at as a kid, you know what I mean? So, yeah, he's a good player.
Ed Lee, please.
Hey, Hamer. I suppose just there's been so much focus for the players on qualifying for a tournament. Having spoken to some of the players this week, it feels as though they won't feel they've achieved anything in the green jersey until they qualify for a tournament. However, in such a big game like away from Portugal, is this a chance for them to pull in the performance and then really believe in what this team can do as a collective?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, we know that we need to have almost a perfect game to get something from this match. And if we do, we have a chance to steal a point or to win the game. Obviously, we need to try to keep a clean sheet. Always going to make it easier, but I think for the players to have a good performance, yes, they definitely believe more and give them more confidence. That was taken away from us in, if I can say that, in Armenia.
And then just in terms of the Armenia game, you said that there wasn't really any player on the pitch who had a really good game. How can you freshen up the team without losing the core of the team? Is that possible in international football?
I think everyone that played this game in Armenia want to correct what went wrong there, whether it was personal performance or collective performance. So everybody likes to have this opportunity that we have tomorrow to play against one of the best teams in the world and to correct what went wrong. That's it. Whether there will be personal changes, I think every true professional like an opportunity like we have tomorrow.
Gavin, please.
Hamer, what's the most difficult aspect of preparing the team to play a team like Portugal?
Obviously, it's defending this team. We know from their past matches almost all their opponents, they will have possession, let's say 60-70% tomorrow. That would not be an unlikely statistics from past games. So we will be defending a lot of the time. So that will be the most challenging thing. And the goal-scoring threats from their players is not one player, it's a lot of them. So we cannot be focusing on one, then just another one will shine. That is going to be the toughest one. And then for our forwards to use the opportunities we get, probably there's not going to be many goal-scoring chances we have, but we must maximise what we take from our chances.
Thanks. Evan, can you talk a little bit about what your coach at Roma had you to do tactically and how it's improved you as a player?
Well, I think it's just it's a different way of football over there, you know what I mean? He's sort of looking to play through with strikers. He's big on attacking and playing through with strikers. So it's just about the work that you're doing every day and trying to improve.
Anyways.
Probably the simplest question you can ask,
but
how are you? Just talk
us
through your fitness at the moment.
Yeah, I'm fine. Just trained all week with no problem, so all good.
And can you just talk us through the game? Because the coach said it was an ankle after the Lille game. Just talk us through the Fiorentina game, if you possible. Just talk us through the last two games of the whole process between sitting and out.
I just had a problem in the game before the last and wasn't able to play in that game, but with a bit of time coming into camp and having some training, I'm all good.
Fit to start.
Yes.
Gentlemen at the back here to win the live section.
Hello again, Coach from Sport TV. You made history on Iceland in Euro and World Cup. What can we expect for you on Highland personality?
I didn't get that one. Can you
repeat that?
Can you repeat it?
What can we expect for you on Ireland after Iceland work? Good job.
Yeah, obviously I remember playing Portugal, Euro 2016. Made a draw against Portugal in the finals. So hopefully we can repeat that here. This Irish team has a similar quality, similar personalities as well. So hopefully we can make a strong performance like we did in the Euros. Expect that.
All right, best of luck to the boys in green tonight as they take on Portugal in the World Cup qualifying campaign game. And that's kicking off at 7:45. The under-21s now, when they played in Turner's Cross last night. And here's Republic of Ireland under-21s manager Jim Crawford speaking to our very own Rory O'Hagan after their 2-2 draw with Slovakia last night.
Jim, a hard-earned point there tonight, but do you feel you might have left two behind you tonight?
Yeah, but look, I think when you look at the goals that they scored, two deflections, they weren't nice. It sort of changed the halftime team talk, that's for sure, because I thought first half we were okay, I thought second half we were a hell of a lot better. Mm. And I thought the intensity in our pressing was very good. And possibly you look at the end there where they hit the crossbar and what have you. It was, I think on reflection you probably look back and you say, okay, you know what I mean, a point was probably a fair result, although, you know, Rocco had an unbelievable effort in the first half too, or the second half where the local boy Leon, unfortunately, he done his hamstring just after that, but he done ever so well to get in the cross. But look, we had a lot of good moments in the game. I would definitely say that it was a real step up in levels of performance since the last window. So we were pleased with that.
And you must be very pleased with the way your side responded to going a goal down within 2 minutes.
Yeah, it showed real character, real belief. They were disappointed, as I said, at halftime because we conceded the second goal so late and in the manner in which we conceded it, you know, another big deflection. But, you know, they showed how good and how resilient they are. They just, you know, they got out second half and started second half really well. And I'm as proud as anything of them, you know. Every single one of them, they were fantastic.
And Slovakia are a big, strong physical side. They're quite hard to break down.
Yeah, look, Slovakia, I think, as I said to a lot of people, a lot of them are playing first-team football. And you can see that in their movement and how sharp and physical they are. But, look, I think we'll be a different proposition when we meet them again, you know, because I think a lot of our lads will have gained more first-team experience with the clubs they're at, and that's important, you know. So if you were to say to me, next time we played them, I'd say I'd fancy ourselves in terms of our ceiling is higher, and then hopefully, you know, a lot of our players would be playing a lot more first-team football.
You mentioned Leon there, he was very upset going off the pitch. Yeah. It was just one of those unfortunate things.
Yeah, it was, we sort of knew he was excellent in training all week. He really was. He's been excellent at Ipswich. You know, they've been minding his minutes because he's just come back off an injury. But you know, we had to play him. You know, he's a Cork boy. We knew he'd brighten up the place, which he did for that moment. And then it was just so unfortunate that he's done his hamstring. So look, we'll see the extent of the damage over the next couple of days, but it's pretty disappointing for him. You know, he's been brilliant all week, and he's a player with you know, real potential.
And a huge game now to come against England in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, play England now in the next window. Look, we look forward to that. I think the thing was, we have to do here is dust ourselves down. Yeah, we go over the performance again. Where do we need to get a little bit better? But in the meantime, we've other players, you know, that weren't involved in this particular window that are coming back from fitness. So there's a real competition for places with this group, and that's what you need in order to be successful, particularly the smaller countries like ourselves. We need a real competitive player pool, and that's what we're generating here with the, you know.
When you mentioned the higher ceiling, do you think this is a point that maybe in time you might come to appreciate a bit more when you reflect on it?
Yeah, look, I do. Look, I'm disappointed because, you know, you have things in your head that we want to win all our home games. You know, we wanted to go into the next window with 9 points. It wasn't, but, you know, it was probably a complete sort of contrast to the last window where we got 6 points and the performances were just okay. Well, you'd be a lot more pleased with that performance and you don't get the 3 points. But look, you know, they're... What I love about this group is their spirit, their character. They're the smashing bunch of lads. They really are. And you know, we'll be ready in November.
In terms of the goals, I know there was 2 deflections, and I think one of the crossbar was deflected as well. Did you just put that down to bad luck? Is there anything you can review or pick out kind of defensively on those? Or
I said, look, for me, you know, you just need to close the ball down quicker outside the box, and when you are closing it down, you have to have the right technique when you're closing it down, you know what I mean? So they're just things that in the chaos of the game it escapes people, but those sort of techniques are quite costly at times, you know, and it's just something that you just hope that players learn from, you know, because it is important for them to make that next step in their own careers, that they're the areas that, okay, it's the ugly side of the game, but it has to be done, or you're picking the ball out in there.
Did you have much of a view of going off the crossbar at the end?
No, I didn't. Because
over the line.
Yeah, but when I asked Noah first, and he says, no, it wasn't. But when I seen it back over there, it's nowhere near, you know what I mean? But it just, you do get a sense of dread when you see the Slovakian bench jumping up and down, you know what I mean? But no, it wasn't to be. But look, it would have been a bitter blow. But, you know, at the same time, Rocco had a chance that I would have thought he would have scored, like he's been scoring them all week in training, you know. But look, it is what it is. With a point, we've got 7 points. 19 points has been, I think, our record over the last few years. So we just keep plugging away, and hopefully we can get there and get to the European finals.
How do you manage the month now until the trip to Birmingham?
It's just getting out to games, because we've got so many players, as I said, that are coming back from injuries that will certainly lift the squad and make it more competitive. So it's getting out, seeing them and seeing how they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's all.
Okay. That's brilliant.
Cheers to that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks, yes. Adam.
I'll be there in a second.
All right, that's all we have time for on the first half of the show, but plenty more action to come in the second.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork, good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so. Not much sport on today, with the internationals taking centre stage, but it's wrapped up in Ferry Carrig Park in Cork City's last SSE or Tricity Women's Premier Division clash of the year against Wexford, and it ends in defeat at 3-0. So they have finished bottom of the table, unfortunately, much like the men's team. But we'll hear men's assistant manager David Moyler talk about ambition soon enough. Ireland-wise, the starting team is out. Cork's Kevin Keller, of course, in goal. Seamus Coleman, Manning, O'Shea, Yalls, Jake O'Brien there in at back. Cullen, Malumbi, Ferguson. Again, great to see Cork's Giodose Ogbene get the nod. Ebisele and Collins is your starting team. Away from football at the moment, we're going to go to athletics now. And our main man, Ger McCarthy, caught up with Laura Nicholson.
Now, all the way from the Pyrenees in France, 1500-meter runner Laura Nicholson, who made her first ever World Athletics Major Championships appearance in Tokyo recently, joins me on the line. Laura, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me, Ger.
It's lovely to speak to you. Congratulations on making your first major championships, which we'll speak about in a moment, and going to Tokyo and competing in the top athletics meet of the year. Firstly, though, we're talking to you from the Pyrenees. Can you give us some context, please, as to why you're currently in the Pyrenees?
Yes, yeah, I just got up here yesterday, so going to do a bit of a training camp for 3 weeks at altitude.
Okay, so you're with Athletics Ireland, and I love the way athletes tell me over the phone sometimes, I'm doing a bit of a camp. The thought of running in the Pyrenees is making me tired. What exactly, without going into too much detail, but what does a camp entail up in such a high altitude?
Basically, just like we do our normal training, but up here instead of wherever else people be living. So like running your normal training, like morning, evening, then a gym, that kind of stuff. Nothing crazy, just new location, basically.
But because it's at high altitude, it's going to be a huge positive effect on you.
Yes, yeah. I don't really know the internet, but something about red blood cells and oxygen, and yeah, I don't really. But yeah, it's supposed to be good for you anyways.
Well, we wish you all the best with that. Lovely to hear you're getting on okay and you landed there. Let's just rewind very quickly, because 2025 has been a fantastic year for you. You've had a real breakthrough year reaching the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. It came late in the year, Laura, in terms of qualifying. Looking back on it now, can you explain why? And was that a good thing, or was it a stressful time when you were trying to make that qualification time?
Definitely, yeah. I guess like it wasn't really on my radar at all, to be honest, this year, until I ran like the Athletics Ireland B standard to qualify for the championships. So when I ran the B standard, then I kind of knew I had a bit of a chance, but I'd have to like run 5 races that are all quite fast to get enough points to qualify. And then I was like very close to being in or out. So I actually found out at about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, and then I flew there at 5 o'clock that same day. So it was a bit, mad situation, but yeah, I was delighted to qualify anyways.
And congrats on that. I mean, that's a lovely positive moment when you realise it, but then you got to go, oh, okay, I got to get on a plane, I got to get going. We've spoken to Dara McElhenney, we've spoken to Nicola Tuttle in recent weeks on the Big Red Bench about their experiences in Tokyo. I was following you, I am following you, and I would encourage people to follow you on Instagram. Before we talk about the on-track experience, the off-track experience, you seem to enjoy visiting Tokyo a lot, and you got around, you did quite a bit of travelling, but can you just... How much of a culture shock? I know you've spent time in university in the United States, but how much of a culture shock, and how much of a, what is this country like, and what was it like being in Tokyo?
I really like it. It's a really nice country. Really like clean. Everyone is quite friendly. People are like very willing to use Google Translate if they couldn't speak English and my Japanese isn't great. But yeah, like really easy to get around. Like public transport was really nice. Yeah, just like really nice country. I really enjoyed it.
On track, you were in the semi-final for the 1500 metres final. The heat and humidity, which the other athletes that we've interviewed in recent times have spoken to us about, how intense was it preparing for that heat before you even got going?
I guess, so I went to there's like a holding camp in Hong Kong for 2 or 3 weeks, I think we were there. So that kind of is when the humidity really affected me, to be honest, when I was like training and stuff, and it was quite hot and humid. But like for the actual race, I guess the 1500, it's quite short, so it's not really even enough time to like think about it or notice the heat. Obviously like Derby running a 5K, you'd kind of, it'd affect you a bit more for those longer ones. But yeah, for the actual race, I didn't really notice, to be honest, thought it was kind of grand.
Did you feel under pressure as this was your first major championships, or just the fact that things happened so quickly, going to Hong Kong, going to the camp, and then just straight into the semi-finals, did it feel like it was all a bit of a blur, or did you feel the pressure?
I didn't really feel that much pressure, to be honest. I guess like I'm in kind of like a weird spot. I'm like in between coaches, in between groups. Just finished 6 years in America at university. So yeah, I don't really know. I guess there wasn't really anyone putting pressure on me. So yeah, I guess I was just like happy to get there and then was excited to go out and race and see how it would go.
You were in a loaded field, to put it mildly. Now, the top six advanced from that semi-final, you didn't make it through, but you ran 4:14, and considering everything you had prepared for and been through, now that you've had time to reflect on it and look at it and how it all panned out, I mean, obviously reaching your first ever senior championships is a fantastic achievement, but you strike me as somebody that would not be satisfied with that and that you want to build on it. But how happy are you now looking back on everything that happened and, you know, competing in a very, very, as we said, this is a world championship field with a lot of experience?
Yeah, I guess like I felt immediately afterwards, I was like, felt like a bit underwhelming because there's like so much hype around the race and everything. And then I kind of went out and ran, didn't really feel great, didn't advance. Like, I don't know, I was just like a bit, like, I guess I just like felt like I wanted to do it again. I was like asking like, where's the repechage, like what they had for the Olympics? Would have liked to have another crack at it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it just kind of showed me like the level that is needed at these champs, and like you really have to come into it in your best. Like I race a lot to qualify, which I don't think helped me once I got there. Just being a bit tired and stuff. But yeah, it definitely like showed me the level that you need to be at, and like all the little things around major champs that would help people perform better.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, like, you got a good look at what a World Championships is like. You've got an appetite for it now. And let's not forget, you're coming off winning your first senior national title earlier on this year, the 123.ie Senior Track and Field Championships. And congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I hope you've had time to take stock of just what's happened to you, not even in the last 12 months, but the last 6 months, Laura. You're still only 24. I mean, your best years haven't even begun yet. I mean, there's so much ahead of you. What are the real positives that you take out of it, like, going to a World Championships at the other side of the world especially, and that you can bring into your training and ahead of the year coming up now?
Yeah, I think just like bringing a bit more professionalism into like the way I approach like training and racing and stuff. Like, not that I was like just taking it as a joke beforehand, but just like the level of professionalism that like the people at these champs have is like next level kind of. Yeah, I guess also like I've kind of been like getting a bit better for the past 4 years in a row. But this year, it's like once you like break that barrier of like being able to make major champs, senior champs, stuff like that, that's when it all really starts to come together. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'm just like excited to kind of get back training and maybe like be a bit fitter and this time next year and hopefully run faster.
How excited was everybody back home in West Cork seeing you on screen, seeing you at a World Championships and just seeing what's happened to you over the last 12 months?
Yeah, it was mad. Like, I think my primary school, they all like had a bit of a banner and everything, and they were like posting on Instagram saying good luck. And then my mom's a primary school teacher as well, so like all the kids had been like following me in assembly. So they were like really excited to watch me, which is nice. Just, I don't know, like having little kids interested in you, it's nice. Because, yeah, they don't really understand or whatever, like, how good or not good you are. But, yeah, it's cool.
Well, they have a new hero. That's Knockshka National School, is it not?
Yes, I went to Knockshka National good. School.
Yeah, well, look, this is the thing, Laura. You're now an international athlete, whether you want to be or not. You are an international athlete, and young children, just like the other athletes we speak to, they look up to you when they see you on television, and they do aspire. You know, you're inspiring these youngsters to put on a pair of running shoes and give it a go. I mean, that's been the big thing. There's been so much positivity around the Irish team coming out of the World Championships. No, we didn't necessarily get all the medals that we would have necessarily liked, but there seemed, look, from the outside looking in, a very good feeling amongst the Irish camp. There seems to be a camaraderie, or is that true? I mean, do you see a lot of other athletes, and how much of a boost was it seeing Kate O'Connor do what she did?
Definitely, yeah. I think especially compared to like other bigger teams, we are like a lot more tight-knit, and like everyone would kind of eat together, and I don't know, everyone's quite down to earth. So yeah, like just seeing people do well and like people outperform their rankings and stuff, it was really, it's like really good atmosphere to be around. And like, I don't know, I guess like I learned a lot just from like being around other athletes and seeing how they conduct themselves, stuff like that.
Excellent stuff. Well, look, it's been a fantastic 2025 for you. You've reached your first ever major championships, world semi-finals of the 1,500 metres at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo, winning the Irish 1,500 metre title earlier on in the year. I know you're in the Pyrenees doing altitude camp training. It all seems to be going in the right direction for you, Laura Nicholson. We here on the Big Red Bench are delighted for you, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the line when things get even better again. But for now, thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there. Great news for Cork City, of course, being in the FAI Cup final. Plenty of buses selling out the trains, I think, have sold out basically straight away, I think, an hour or two after that Pats result in the semi-final. Not so great, though, with both the senior teams finishing last in their respective leagues, the men's team being relegated. And here's assistant manager David Myler talking to John Duggan's Off the Ball.
Yourself and Ger are only there a few months, and there were protests before the Pats game. I mean, you talk about the passionate fans. Is this something you understood? Or
I get protests. I've been involved as a player when fans have protested against owners. Look, the hardest thing is my interactions with Dermot Usher have been brilliant. Like, I know there's been some mumbles and groans from fans about the lack of ambition. I get that, right? The club has gone up, down. I get that, but I'm ambitious, the manager's ambitious. Like, I could have stayed in England. I left the job to come here because I believe in this club, I believe in this area, I believe in the people. The manager's the same, he wouldn't have come otherwise. So, like, when I say that, like, the first conversation I had with Ger said to me, why do you want to be my assistant manager? And I spoke about where I see myself getting to one day. And I'm ambitious. Like, one day I'd love to manage Ireland. And that's the young boy in me that wanted to play professional football. That's the young coach in me now. And I'm ambitious. I don't want to be relegated. I don't think Cork City should be in the first division. Cork City, but that's the situation we find ourselves in. But Cork City should be challenging up the table. We should be pushing for Europe. We should be pushing for league titles, and that's the way it should be. And the conversations I've been involved with the owner, he sees it that way too. Unfortunately, it's not transpired that way, but we have to look collectively at the bigger picture and how do we get this club into that position.
Right, we'll leave that one there. Elsewhere, the long wait is over, finally, for Aeroke, as they won their first Cork Credit Union Senior Ladies Football Championship final in MTU earlier today. Last weekend it ended all square, but this time Aeroke did not let it slip. They finally got their hands on the trophy in their fifth final in a row. Here's Peter McGoldrick speaking to Ger McCarthy.
Peter, it's over. You've done it. What a club to come back from four defeats in a row. What character. And you deserve it.
The girls have character and speed. I mean, there's never any fear of them. They're always, you know, they just turn a corner and they just go again. So it's great for the club. You know, we've come a long way in 20 years. Just, there's a lot of people very happy. People like, you know, I've seen Tom Scanny there and John Cleary. You know, that's where they've started things off. I'm thinking about the managers that came very close the last couple of years. You know, Donald Cronin and Joe Carroll there. Like, if we were just very lucky to be in the right place at the right time, you know? And, like, you know, it's great. It's great for a club just to make the breakthrough because, you know, we're watching a lot of others, you know, and we're like, you know, you need something like this just to push on again. And I suppose it'll keep us busy, you know, in Munster for the rest of the month. Oh, and that's great as well, you know. I mean, it makes the season longer and it, you know, that's nice to have the bit of rewards and the bit of whatever. So it's...
Be honest, when it's extra time, were you going, here we go again? I thought you really kicked on, though.
No, look, I mean, we kind of knew that the girls were very fit. Like the lads have worked very hard with them, just to mention out just the team there.
You'll be remembered.
I just want to mention Philip, Brian, Sinead, Simon, but like the work they did strength conditioning and the fitness, like they we felt they had legs anyway, but like it's just our second say, Adam were mighty champions. They never gave up, they fought to the very end. And you know it's two good matches.
Yeah.
You know, so two good finals back to back. There was not much in it, and just we kind of pulled away. I suppose the last bit, you know, and somebody was going to do that eventually. At least it didn't go to
free kicks.
again. We couldn't go through that again. Though we have you practice at them.
I had a feeling you might.
Congratulations. Enjoy it, buddy.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from the Aeroge, Peter McGoldrick, manager there, four heartbreaks in a row. But here's Jurno talking to an elated Laura Cleary.
No problem.
Laura, you've been on a long road with this club, don't shoot ears. Loss after loss after loss. Yeah. All gone now because you've done it. County champions, has it sunk in?
No, it's unbelievable. Like, we did believe we could do it. We've believed that firmly every year for the last 5 years, and we've gotten closer and closer, and heartbreak after heartbreak. Like, to be over the line is indescribable. It's worth the wait. It's the best feeling ever, and every single person here like made it happen, and it's just an unbelievable team. In fairness to them, like, we knew nothing was going to come easy, but to win a game like that, I've never been prouder of a team and a club. It's unbelievable.
What was it today? Was it just determination? We're not losing.
You know what? We had it the last day as well. There was no way we were losing, and I think we had it last year as well. And I suppose, look, you know, the conditions last year and everything made things a lot more difficult and things like that. All the things happen on those kind of days. Today we knew it was a fine day. We were going to play football. We were going to work harder. We were not leaving it behind us for the fifth year in a row. But you still have to go out and do it. And they made it very, very hard for us. Like, I'm in shock. We did it, but you know, like, it's indescribable.
Isn't it going to enjoy?
Thank you so much. Thanks a
minute. You're also caught up with Maeve Callaghan.
Yeah. Maeve Callaghan, finally four defeats in a row, no more, you're county champions. How does that feel?
Oh, incredible. You know, obviously there, like, going into extra time, you'd be thinking, how are we here again? But in fairness, you know, we put all the wrongs right this year. We just really didn't want it to go to free kicks and have regrets. And great credit for Mahara, you know, huge battle again today, no different than the last day, but it's just, you know, it's incredible to finally feel like we've got over the line.
You certainly deserved it. You just weren't losing today, Maeve, were you?
No, I think, you know, nerves obviously have been a part the last couple of years, but we just felt this year like, you know, it was time to let the shackles off. And, you know, we have unbelievable players in our squad, and I just think this year we just decided to let the shackles off and go at teams. And, you know, just huge credit to all the girls, and just an overall team performance.
Congrats, go and enjoy.
Thanks. Thank you.
Lastly, we'll hear from Sid McGoldrick.
So can you take it in after what you've been through over the last 4 years? Is it real? You are county champions.
Yeah, no, it's unreal. We're absolutely delighted. I think everyone just left it out there today, and I think that's all we needed to get over the line, really.
Huge emotion at the final whistle, understandable, but in extra time, when it went extra time again, were you thinking, oh God, here we go again? Or did you just deliver today?
Yeah, I think maybe knowing last year how much it took and how good odds are of a team, we just knew that we had to give absolutely everything today, and thankfully we were able to get over the line.
What's the boost for the club, not just for yourselves, the younger girls in this club?
No, we're delighted. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thanks so much.
Great scenes there by the sounds of it. We finish up now with a small bit of rugby. Great for Munster to get a win over Edinburgh last night in the URC with a last minute try from Finn Witchley, 20 points to 19, and finished in a nail biter right here in Cork in Virgin Media Park. But quickly, so a bit of energy. All Ireland League in Division 1A, Cork Conn beat Nina Ormond 25 points to 17. In Division 1B, it finished Highfield around the end of a 36-12 point hammering against City over Armagh, while UCC were then narrowly defeated 31 points to 29 points against Old Wesley. And those Energia aerial updates. So, with thanks to Energia, think of the possibility. Great to see Edwin Adogbo back for Munster, of course, but we're now going to hear audio from the try. Scorer and match winner Finn Witcherly.
Scoring any tries at all, but not mind. Definitely not used to scoring any tries at all, but not mind a match winner. So absolutely delighted to get the win down in Cork, and we're definitely put it up to us, and we had to work very hard to get that last try, so thanks be to God we did.
And how special is it for you to play in Cork with your brother from Munster?
We're definitely very, very lucky. There has been a few brothers from Cork getting an opportunity to play here, the likes of Scandals and stuff like that, down through the years, but we just never take it for granted, and obviously our family is over there now watching me taking the interview, but we're very lucky, and obviously playing Musgrave Park, it was unbelievable tonight. The atmosphere was class and sold out, so that's three from three. So if anybody said at the start of the pre-season that we'd be in this position, we'd be absolutely delighted. So we're in a good position, we're just going to keep it going.
And how are you finding life under the new head coach?
Yeah, very good. He's definitely
it's definitely running a tight ship. Look, we worked very hard over pre-season, but at the same time we had a lot of enjoyment. We had time off on Fridays and a bit of crack together as a team, and I think that's helped us now kind of create a bit of resilience and also just kind of fight for each other, creating good connections. And I think obviously over the first 3 weeks we've been in positions where we could have maybe in the past knock out those wins, or maybe fell away to the wayside, but over the last couple of weeks we've fought back and got those wins. So I think that's kind of a sign that what we did in pre-season is working, so we've got to keep it going.
All right, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench at Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Hopefully a big night in store for Irish football. That one kicking off against Portugal at 7:45. Marty Alfoyle is on the way next.